And someone came up to me with a totally right heart, Donna Jennings. Somebody had a bad dream about something happening, came and said, I got to tell you this dream. I said, don't. It's not from God. I don't need to hear it. I don't want to see it. I said, it's not from God. Just break the power of it and just pray. And I think it's maybe God will use this. Let's call this to good. So God will use this to get your daughter to really start caring about me and wanting to be a part of what God's doing. But I don't need to hear it. I cancel the assignment. Whoa, without even hearing it. I don't need that in my spirit jumping all around if it's not God. So I say, but as soon as somebody begins to describe a dream to me, I see it. So I saw those little tiny beds. Did you want to hear the interpretation of your dream? Okay, she had this dream, and go ahead, let me just do it real fast. And if there's other parts, we'll add it later, whatever. This is just what Edie got of the dream. But she was in her mobile home, and there was these little tiny light beds. And see, last Friday night, her not even knowing, you'd have to have been here, but somebody else had a dream about being on a cot. Anyhow, I won't get into all that, but anyway, there's these little tiny beds, but they were kind of looked like the kind of beds in a train, you know, where you kind of crawl up into the bed, you know, those boxcar kind of beds. Not that I've ever seen one. I've never actually been in that kind of train, but I saw the movies. And so I can't remember the whole dream. I get a little bit of it. Anyway, and so somebody from this ministry had finally graduated out of that bed, and then someone in the 20th age group was coming in to get in that bed. What it represented, the Lord began to show me. I saw them getting in the bed. I saw the whole thing. I knew this is of the Spirit of God because I see this thing. And what I saw, and I won't do the second part because I already told Edie that. I'll tell you later. But what I saw was your calling. First of all, that bed represents people who are in intimacy with the Lord and then out of intimacy. It's very temporary. It's kind of fast moving. They try to jump into a deep place with God, but they can't stay there. It's a very temporary. It's kind of this, you know, the ones that receive it with joy and then the cares of the world come and it's gone. And so God showed her the person who got out of it was somebody from this ministry who God says they're finally maturing out of that place of, yay, hurrah, I'm hungry for God one day and then all things the other. And I think God's also speaking that into your life, that it's about people who jumped in intimacy with the Lord. It's yay, hurrah, but then they get off out of it as if it's a train ride and they can walk away from it and do their own worldly thing and then come back to it and it's a temporary intimacy. The 20-something person represents a call on your life. God's going to send you to those hurt people who want to jump into intimacy with the Lord but have a problem because of the pain in their past of walking out that walk to a maturity. Isn't that cool? Okay, so when I saw the dream, and it's cool that that dream complemented Edie's dream. Was it your dream, Edie? Yeah. And God then begins to bring a ministry to where their dreams start connecting to do a bigger picture. Is he so cool? He's an awesome God. Okay? So anyway, that's seeing and hearing. And when God gives you those dreams and you know this is from God, guess what? You've got eyes to see. And if you do something with those dreams and really believe God with dreams, but if somebody comes at me with something that's not of God and you're all excited or whatever, if I'm not seeing it or hearing it or tasting it, it's usually because it's not from God. But maybe he just doesn't want me to be the one. But many times it's because it's coming from somewhere else. It's coming from your imagination. It's coming from something. And so God wants us to mature. Now, this thing we're talking about tonight, this thing will really stop you from being able to mature. The more I look at this, I wasn't even going to preach all that. I really see that this demon can be behind so many things. Look at first Romans 11:8. I got a whole teaching on this in the back somewhere. But I'll read this really quickly. This is also giving you some indicators of what will cause the enemy to be able to bring this blindness on you. Okay, Romans 11:8, verse 6. But if by grace no longer is it of works. Works, you guys, a works mentality of how can I please God? How can I do all the right things for God to like me? Works will cause the blindness, okay? It'll block you from really entering into things of God, hearing God. But if by grace no longer is it by works, else grace is no longer grace. But if of works is no longer grace, else work is no longer work. What then? When Israel seeks this it did not obtain, but the election obtained it, and the rest were hardened. Even as it has been written, God gave them to a spirit of slumber. Ooh, write down spirit of slumber. Eyes not seeing, ears not hearing. Ooh. Okay. This counterfeit thing is a Buddhist demon, deity, to make you think that if you don't see, hear, or speak evil, you're good. And it's a lie. But here we see that God himself will give you a spirit of slumber, which will cause your eyes not to see in the spirit and your ears not to hear the things of the spirit. And the reason is because they wanted works more than they wanted grace. Ooh, get a hold of this. Okay? People think, especially people who think they can get it all together, they kind of think highly of themselves in some areas, or they see their gifts and their talents. They want it to be based on works because somehow they think then they'll do okay. That's what the Pharisees did. If you want your life to be based on works, then God releases a spirit of slumber so you cannot hear and see in the spirit realm. Now, if you get a spirit of slumber where you cannot, and stupor is another word for that in other translations, if you cannot see or hear in the spirit realm and you're determined to be spiritual, you can pick up a religious spirit and think that you're hearing and think that you're seeing, but it'll be shipwrecked. The fruit won't be there. And not only that, Satan will begin to play with your mind and begin to take ownership of you. So you have to realize we have to hate wanting works. Why do you want works? The only reason you want works instead of grace is because you actually think somehow you will be able to do stuff good enough to please God. And I guess compete against somebody else. I don't really get it when you really start understanding grace. Don't you understand? God's not interested in any of that. God's like, you're all okay. Jesus is like, hey, you're all okay. I made you. I know what your works are. I know what your talents are. Why do you think that would impress God? It's just something you were created for your gifts and your talents and your work to glorify God. Not to impress God, but to glorify God. Not to feel better about yourself. Not to compare yourself to someone else, not to strive and contend. We got a lot of teaching on this. This is so important because Satan does everything he does based on works and based on people who he can make them think that things aren't fair because their works aren't good enough, or make them think that they got it all together because their works are so superior to everybody else's. That's so self-righteous. So self-righteous. So self-righteous. God's destroying self-righteousness. Okay. So one of the things that will turn you over, isn't that what see no evil, hear no speak? If I do this, I will be good. See, the Pharisees, and now if you want to call them the prophetic Pharisees, people who think, oh, if I could just see an angel, if I could just shake, if I could just speak it, if I could just do these spiritual things, then I would impress God, and then that means I'm okay with God, and God's okay with me. No. You're already created to please God. You create it for his pleasure. You're already created that way. He did it. God did it when he made you. He made you the color he wanted you. He made you the gender he wanted you. He made you in the age group, you know. He knew when you were born. He knows when you'll die. He's in charge of everything. All he wants you to do is enjoy it. But this spirit of the enemy tells you, You've got to earn it. And then it tells you if you do anything that could glorify God or hear or see in the Spirit, then you deserve something better than everybody else. So let me earn it. God, look, are you impressed? Are you impressed? Are you impressed? What do I get? What do I get? Doing this for you, a sacrifice. What do I get? What do I get singing for you instead of singing for the world? What do I get teaching for you instead of being a motivational speaker making $40,000? Or $40,000, what am I talking about? Someone we all know on TV makes $40 million a year doing pretty bad counseling. $40 million. The world is crazy. We say, God, look what I gave up for you. What do I get? When the truth is, look what he gave up for you. And look what you don't get. We got to change the way we see things. It's not about what we gave up for him. It's about what he gave up for us. It's not about us at all. But that's the freedom. You know, it's amazing. The same people who hate the whole push and perfectionism and the performance and the constantly trying, those same people who will not surrender to God are the same ones who want to kill themselves. Why don't you just give it up for God instead of giving it up for the devil? So these spirits, these things come in to make us afraid to trust God. They make us afraid. Now, Satan has done things in your life to make this real. So hopefully a lot of it will go tonight. Some of you may have to dig some of it out, like God had to show me that one thing from my past. And that's what you can begin to ask him. Holy Spirit, show me. First of all, let me see things correctly. That's why the Bible says get the log out of your eye so you can see the speck. And I'm telling you, if you're having a hard time with your spouse, with your children, with coworkers, with anyone else, get the log out of your eye because you are not seeing things clear. And when you get the log out of your eye, when you get that big old log out of your eye so you can see things clear, you're going to see what the enemy's done in your life. You're going to see how you missed it. You're going to see how you hurt people. You're going to see how, and then you're going to want, once you get that out, you're just going to be so broken and contrite and humbled before God that you wouldn't dare judge, mock, or even try to touch that splinter. Except out of the love of God to see somebody set free, not out of self-righteousness. And so God wants us to really see these things and deal with these things. Let me do this real quick, and then we'll come back and do this, because I really want to do this one altar call and this other thing. I want you to look at, well, let me just go, Proverbs 6:14. This is a little bit different, but it's something I just want to do, because I wanted this totally out of my heart. Oh, gosh, I want to do all these real quick. Oh, I mean, let me just give you the scriptures and look it up. I just want to get to these. These don't go that much with what we're doing now. Where did I put them? All right, you can look it up. It's about discord, sowing discord. Proverbs 6:14, Proverbs 6:19. Divisiveness, Titus 3:9 through 10. Let me go ahead and read that one really fast. Titus 3:9 through 10. Now let me say this. This is how much God wants this junk out of our hearts. But the cool thing about the anointing that's being poured out even today is we can be set free from this stuff. So Titus 3:9 through 10. But keep back from foolish questionings, genealogies, arguments, and quarrels of the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. After the first and second warning, avoid a man of heresy. Okay, divisiveness is what, instead of arguments, it says divisiveness in some of the translations. When I looked up divisive, it means a strategy to divide and separate. Okay? A divisive spirit has to divide and conquer. Okay? It has to bring division and conquer. And we were looking at some stuff today. Okay, a divisive spirit creates, okay, it makes up, and I'm getting this out of my heart, because I really see today, after some stuff, I just saw a little bit of this in my heart, And we've dealt with this before, but this really was in my heart. I want to get rid of it before I get on an airplane to the Philippines. I want to get on it before I get in my car. I want to get on it before I breathe another breath. So I want to get rid of anything I find. I figure if I find it, I just will preach it when I find it, because that might be a good time for you to get rid of it too. So divisiveness is creating discord, making up discord, okay, to create disagreements. And it can be a spirit in you that somebody says this and you say that. Then they say this and you say, it's like you almost go into an argument when you're not even, you don't even care enough about what you're talking about to argue. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like you don't even, you're not even trying to argue, but something in you argues when you're not even arguing. Now let me say this, this may be the opposite of the speak no evil. I'm not saying this is related. This is something else that comes out, and we can have different ones of these. Some people can't say anything argumentative no matter what because they don't say anything. When they do, they blow up and scream. But there can actually be a divisive spirit where you create disagreements. And part of the word discord means to clash. Now listen to this. To clash is to strike opposition with contradiction between. And it's when there's a different viewpoint or interest or purpose. And so there's a contention to get your viewpoint across. And, of course, that would have to do with perception, not seeing things right. In other words, I'm going to give an example from, I'm not going to use names, not that anybody cares. But I was ministering to a married couple in the last couple months or whatever. And when you heard what was going on, it sounded like two different households. And when I really, after some time of ministry, I brought this down to a place where one of the persons involved, or just say the husband involved, as a child had really judged his father. And he really believed, when I have children, I'm going to do this so different, and I'm going to I can be a perfect father, and I could do this so different that my children won't have to go through what I went through, or whatever.